you and me, sitting in the back of my memory, like a honeybee buzzing round a glass of sweet Chablis. Radio's on, windows rolled up and my mind's rolled down. Headlights shining like silver moons rolling on the ground. We made love in every way love can be made. And we made time look like time could never fade. Friday night, we both made a guitar hum. Saturday made Sunday feel like it would never come. Gonna be a long Monday, sitting all alone on a mountain by a river that has no end. Gonna be a long Monday, stuck like the tick of a clock that's come unwound.
Your take on how much lower you think the markets can go right now?
We think that the markets can decline 50 or 60%. We hate to say something so somber, but it's not the time to be optimistic or pessimistic. It's time to be realistic. Our whole system has been built on credit expansion. We have to grow credit year over year in order to keep the economy growing. The economy is not going to grow. It's going to suffer recession, and once it enters recession, it's going to cascade on itself.
Soul to soul, heart to heart, and cheek to cheek. Oh, come on, baby, give me a kiss that'll last all week. The thought of you leaving again brings me down. The promise of your sweet love brings me around. Gonna be a long Monday, sitting all alone on a mountain by a river that has no end. It's gonna be a long Monday, stuck like the tick of a clock that's come unwound.
Know good and well that someday there could be a government in power that is shipping its citizens off for disagreements. There are laws on the books now that characterize who might be a terrorist. Someone missing fingers on their hands is a suspect, according to the Department of Justice. Someone who has guns, someone who has ammunition that is weatherproofed, someone who has more than 7 days of food in their house can be considered a potential terrorist.
Okay, hey, welcome back to New World Out of Order. Hey, this episode we're going to be talking prepping. There's a lot of people in the country today that's prepping for, actually for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, from either cataclysmic events that's going to happen in the world, natural disasters, economy that's going to just, that's going to totally collapse. And just a lot of different reasons. And so actually today we're lucky. We've got a friend of mine, Eleanor, is on the phone with us and is going to do a interview with us. And she has been getting into prepping here recently. And I've been pretty curious about it. And she's got a lot of good information. So we're going to talk to her. Hey, Eleanor.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just interested in talking and letting people know what we've learned over the last few years while we started doing this.
Cool. Man, there's a lot of people getting into this now. I mean, of course, you know, they've got the TV show. And, you know, I've never watched the TV show, but I've checked it out on the internet, and I think that show's kind of giving preppers a bad name, really. It seems to be, well, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think TV never portrays what actually goes on behind the scenes, and they tend to get with the, you know, more interesting people, and they make them look like a whack job, you know, because we don't. We're against the normal way of thinking, so to speak.
Yep.
So I don't think that any of the shows like that really portray what actually people are doing out there, because one of the biggest things is you don't want people to know. So why are you going to go on TV to tell everyone?
Well, that's true, and of course we all know that the media is extremely biased, mainstream media, and that includes you know, all the major television networks and stuff. So they're not going to really pass on the real story here. But yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. They try to just make all of us look just kind of look stupid. So anyway, that's just kind of the motive. But hey, now what's your reason for getting into prepping? Like I said, there's a lot of different reasons that people have started prepping, and so what kind of got you going into it?
Well, a few years ago when we saw the economy tank, you know, we realized, me and my husband both realized that that this government was going down and that they weren't going to be around to protect us and to, you know, give us what we need. Like everyone in the country or most people think that the government's here to protect and help. And we realized that we needed to learn to take care of ourselves and not to rely on anyone else. Because they weren't going to be around, yeah. You know, and there's things happening every day that, you know, that prove that. So some of it was the economic collapse, which is definitely coming. And, you know, then disaster, you know, like Katrina. Those people were, you know, devastated down there, and they were upset because FEMA didn't come in fast enough for them. But, you know, in reality, if everyone had taken responsibility for themselves, and had, you know, really been prepared for that whole incident to go down, they could have survived, you know, for several days and gave additional time for people to come in and try to assist them.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody was prepared, you know.
No kidding. I agree with you 100% there. And that's, you know, that's pretty refreshing to hear that that's your reason that why you're prepping is, you know, you're just taking personal responsibility for yourself in case of a natural disaster or in case of, like I said, the economic collapse, which, you know, a lot of us really do see is kind of out on the horizon here. So, you know, you're right. Most people, they just totally rely on the government for everything, and they think the government is supposed to do everything for them, when that's not the case at all. That's the whole problem, is the government's been doing that and you know, been, you know, coddling a lot of people and encouraging them, if, you know, not... you know, I guess subconsciously encouraging people to rely on the government. And of course, the reason that they do that is it's essentially voters. You know, they get whatever party's doing that, they're going to get the votes. And of course, right now, the Democratic Party, you know, they push for more social stuff than the Republican Party. But there again, there's no difference, you know, between the two. If you go back and look at both of them, the government spending, federal spending has gone up with every presidency. So there's really no difference. And then, of course, they're spending on primarily the same things. They're spending on the true entitlement programs, not the, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. Those aren't entitlement programs. Those are the things that we pay for and that we give our money to the government. And they're supposed to, you know, invest it and then, of course, when we retire, they give it back. So that's not entitlement there. Now, you know, if you have food stamps and you have welfare and you have, you know, people that are on welfare or food stamps getting free cell phones, now that's entitlement. And, of course, you know, that's just people, you know, getting used to the government.
I think that the cell phones is so they can track people. But that's another story. And, you know, and they want people to be dependent on them.
Yeah.
Because down the road, I believe that they're going to shoot for a population decrease, and that's going to be one of the ways that they can get rid of a lot of people at one time, you know, because they won't have anybody to give them a handout, and they won't know how to survive on their own because they've always been taken care of. It's just like a child. If you don't give that child the knowledge to take care of itself, and you wipe its face and hands every day, when it gets to be 20, you've done it all its life, that child can't function. It's used to you taking care of it. So I think it's keeping people minimized, you know, the growth, the personal development, their knowledge of just general life that me and you may take for granted that we know. The generation behind us has no clue.
That's true. That's glad you said that. That is, you're exactly right there. And that's what this society has really turned into. We're people that are used to having things done for us, and the work ethic has really gone down. So that's cool. So you're, you know, you're getting ready for an impending economic collapse. And like I said, I believe that's coming. There's a lot of people that think that we're going to have a cataclysmic natural disaster that's coming. You know, I don't really subscribe to that. I think it's kind of interesting, and there is some facts in there. There's some history, some cycles of, you know, solar activity that goes in certain cycles and stuff.
You're talking about the Mayan calendar?
There again, we're talking about the Mayan calendar. And like I said, I don't, you know, I really haven't studied that a whole lot, but I don't put a whole lot of emphasis on that calendar, you know, whole scenario there. But now there is a trend it's in history that's been, you know, proven as far as the solar flares. And of course, you know, we're in like the peak of an 11-year solar flare right now. There's a bigger there's a bigger peak that peaks at every 150 years. And of course, that's going to peak this year, or I think it actually peaked the end of last year, but of course we're still kind of in it right now. And then on top of that, all the planets are kind of going to be in some sort of a direct alignment in December, and of course that's going to cause some additional gravitational pulls or whatever. So how that all affects each other, I don't know. My view on that is, if it's going to happen, if something like that is going to happen of that magnitude, you know, there's not really a whole lot of prepping you can do for that, because because you and your stuff is probably not going to be here anymore.
Well, and praying is going to be the only thing that helps you on that, for sure.
Yeah.
But I believe people misread the Mayan calendar, so to speak, because they did it in cycles. You're right. And this is just the end of a cycle for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad, bad thing that's going to happen. It just means that all these things are coming around, and this time frame is gone for them, and it just starts over. Their calendar doesn't end. That's just the end of the cycle.
Yeah.
So the next one will start up. So being afraid, you know, and I guess if I thought I was going to die in 2021, then I wouldn't be worried about prepping all this food and trying to make sure my family's covered, you know, because I'm spending all my money. I'm having a good time for the next few years, you know. So.
It's kind of like the guy, it's all subject, kind of like the guy I read in the paper the other day about a guy in Australia that had the doctor had given him a diagnosis that he was terminally ill and was going to die within 6 or 8 months from cancer. You know, so this guy did what most other people would do. You know, he's in his 60s, and he went out and he started living his bucket list, right? Well, he became $60,000 in debt, you know, because he didn't care. And then the doctor came back and told him, he said, sir, we made a mistake, and you're actually you're all right, man. You're like, you're going to be all right.
And you're screwed.
Yeah, that's right. So,
that's not a good thing.
So, well, hey, listen, what kind of stuff do you guys, do y'all prep? What do you stack up here?
Well, a big thing about prepping is to practice things. So we started out with a dehydrator. And we would go to the farmer's market, or, you know, go to a big warehouse like Costco or Sam's. And you can buy, like, the frozen corn, for instance. It's very easy. You buy the frozen corn, you put it in the dehydrator and dehydrate it. The space thing in itself is a great space saver. It'll take a huge 10-pound bag of frozen corn. When you dehydrate it, we'll put it down in a size of a quart Ziploc bag.
Wow.
And so that, you know, having room to store things is another, you know, thing that you have to think about. So all you do is take this corn and you'll put a little water in it, and it plumps right back up, and it tastes just fine. You know, and when you dehydrate something, it can be good for 7 to 10 years.
Oh, wow. Now, if you're dehydrating this, and do you have to store it in an airlock container, or do you have to refrigerate it, or how do you store it?
You do not have to refrigerate it. You dehydrate it, and we have, you know, the dehydrator actually comes with a book that tells you how long to do, you know, every vegetable or fruit that you want to do. So we started doing the corn. We started out with easy things. We'd buy the big, huge things of green beans. We put them in Ziploc bags and just squeeze the air out. And then we have shelves in our basement that we keep, like boxes marked. This is the green beans. This is the corn. And we use that stuff. We wanted to see how it held up, how it tasted, you know, to make sure that it was going to be something that we could keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep it rotated. and I, every few months I'll go and get a few bags, and we'll do some more. We eat one of the older ones, and we have three or four more going back in.
Cool.
Because that's a big thing. You have to keep your food rotated.
Yeah.
You can't just sit it down there to store it for, you know, 7 years or 10 years or, you know, whatever you think. It has to be rotated. It has to be stuff you use.
Yeah.
So, and we actually started doing little recipes. We tried, we took powdered milk, and we put a cup of oatmeal and a third of a cup of the powdered milk and a half a cup of vegetables, fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We started with strawberries because everybody likes strawberries, and that is strawberries and cream oatmeal.
Now, that comes back out, and does it taste just like it normally would?
It's better than any prepackaged, you know, the little things you get with the cookies and cream or the strawberries and cream or whatever.
Yeah.
It actually has a better flavor. You get the big, huge thing of oats. It's very nominal. You know, we try to cost effective, you know. It goes a long way, and it tastes actually better than the processed stuff they have in the store.
Wow, that's cool. That's interesting. That's you know, I live on the coast down here, and that's you know, I'm sitting here thinking that's probably a good thing that we should probably do in case, you know, we do have a hurricane or something where we're without food. So cool. I'm interested in this. Yeah.
Yeah, and being on the coast too, when we actually lived in Daytona for a while, we had what they call a hurricane barrel, and all it is a plastic barrel that you put stuff in that you might need. Bottled water, you know, flashlights, batteries, usually a sleeping bag, you know, we stick up in the, put it up high so if you do get flooded, nothing gets wet.
Mm-hmm.
But this barrel, you put like canned goods and sardines and crackers and stuff that we keep for a little while, especially if you know one's coming in, you know, it's not time to run out to get milk and bread at the store at that point. but this barrel would keep everything from getting wet in case you did get flooded, because we lived on the coast, you know, just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that was a really good idea. We had found out through some friends, and they did it a lot. They had several kids. So, you know, you want your kids to be happy. You get them puzzles and little games they can play because
yeah.
kids get bored.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even that kind of stuff. All of that is to keep your family happy. Then that's where this feeds into the whole feeling. If you can eat and drink, and that you're not really your family does at night or whatever is not affected, you can just carry on with your life. Everybody's happier.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's pretty good. I'm gonna need to take some tips from you on that. I really am. Well, hey, listen. I think you had also mentioned to me that you guys produce your own ethanol. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, we tried. That was our second thing that we tried, because our truck is actually the E85,
mm-hmm.
And if you know, we have a major tornado hurricane that might put power out for weeks. You know, you never know. You wouldn't be able to get fuel.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to get anywhere. And if you know something went down that you had to leave the area, you're going to have a way to get out of here. So we started practicing, and it's basically making the fuel is just like making alcohol. It's just that you have to keep it at a higher temperature so the octane stays up high enough to run a motor.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to notify the government. There's no charge for the permit, and you can produce up to 10,000 gallons of E85 per year. And actually, you can get some tax breaks if you do it right, which we haven't produced enough quantity to really worry about, you know, letting the government know how much we have.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, but it does work in our vehicle. We tested it. We made about 300 gallons. And so now we know what we have to do. And if we have to start producing our own fuel, it's easy to do, and we've already practiced it. That's the thing you have to do. You have to practice things, find out what works, what don't work.
Yeah, well, that's...
And you have to remember, you're not going to have electricity.
Yeah.
You're not going to have things. So propane is a big thing. or enough firewood where you can have a fire going.
Yeah.
For, you know, because it takes a little while to cook all this. So we have both. We actually go around picking up people's trees when they cut them down and split them, and we keep them in our backyard. And then if we get too low, which usually doesn't happen, I'll have a few cords delivered just to keep it stocked up.
Yeah. Well, that is cool. And yeah, what you said about practicing, yeah, it makes sense because if something like that happens, you know, people are going to kind of rush around and figure out how to, you know, maybe perhaps how to make ethanol, perhaps. And they could.
You can make it out of anything.
Yeah, but if they don't know, they can read about it. But reading about it and doing it's two different things. And like you said, doing that practicing, yeah, that's sure. That's cool. So now, what kind of stuff do you make your ethanol out of?
Well, my husband was an exterminator. This is a funny story, and he actually did several donut chains.
Right.
And the tossed out donuts, there was bags of them, you know. So he would bring those home. We have a freezer that we just keep basically water in, mm-hmm. gallons of water frozen. And so we threw them in there till we got enough to make the mash. And we actually made it out of old donuts.
But you gotta love that.
Grass clippings. Yeah, that's funny. Blueberry donuts. But you can use anything. Grass clippings. Leaves, I mean, anything like that, it'll break down, and you can make the ethanol out of it.
Well, that is cool. I imagine it smells pretty good if you're doing the donuts, right?
It smells sort of greasy. But it was good. It was all good. It worked, you know, and it was cheap. We got the donuts for nothing. And basically, it was just buying a little bit of yeast to go in there and some propane to cook it. You know. It's all a process, and it's not expensive at all. And you can go online and look. There's a lot of websites. Just look up ethanol, and they can tell you or steer you to the right type of yeast for it because it's very, very high yield. So it's very an active yeast. It's not like you would use to make beer, so to speak. So it has to be the specific kind, and right now it's not coming to me what the name of it was that we used.
Yeah.
But you know, if anybody's interested in that, there's plenty of websites out there that give you the formula.
Well, cool. I tell you what I like to do is I can list some of those on the on my website. Website is nwo3.com. That's nwo3.com, and you can go and just shoot me some of those websites, some of the ones that you like.
Okay.
And I'll put those up there, and so people can grab them and take a look if you want to.
Yeah, I've got them all bookmarked, so I'll be glad to forward them over to you so they can check it out.
Cool, that sounds good. If you have, for people that were just starting off here, you know, because I guess most people either wouldn't want to get into it really heavy or might not have the space, perhaps, you know, to get into it really heavy. So if people were really just starting out, would you like to suggest, like, you know, for an essential thing like a dehydrator and then like a freezer perhaps? Or what would be some just basic starter, like a starter prepping kit that you would maybe recommend?
Well, like I said, we started with a dehydrator because it seems simple. You can go to a farmer's market. You don't have to grow your own food, so to speak. You know, and in fact, when you're growing something in your yard, you really don't get enough of a yield to store a lot of things.
Yeah.
So what we did was went to the farmer's market, and we would buy bushels of, you know, carrots or peas or whatever we wanted to dehydrate. Dehydrator, I think, is one of the best things that you can invest in. And they have different sizes, so you can gear it to your family. As you know, I have a very large family, so I went with the biggest one. It has 9 trays, and you can dehydrate anything. And that includes meat. You can make beef jerky, deer jerkies. I mean, and they're really good. We've done a little bit of everything. The second thing is this is really simple, and this is a very filling thing, 50-pound bags of rice. And what you do to keep rice from getting sweaty and moldy is you take the rice and you do a serving, you know, like if you like me, I would do 2 cups because I would need that much to feed my family.
Okay.
In a Ziploc bag, and Ziploc bags are great, and we actually packaged it and then, you know, portioned it all out, put them in 5-gallon buckets. You know, you get them paint buckets or, you know, well, we didn't have paint them, but you know what I'm saying? Just
right.
Any kind of buckets that have a top and seal those up. And that keeps them dry. That keeps them, you know, and they're all sealed up in there. I've had, well, I'm on using the rice that we've had in 2 years.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, because we put it in there to find out. We didn't use it for a couple years just to find out if it would last.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing with sugar and with flour and cornmeal. We'll go to the mill. We'll get them to grind us up 100 pounds. And we portion it all out and put it in buckets. And then you can stack them on top of each other. That way, if you have a flood or something crazy happens, or it keeps, you know, if you, I don't have mice here, but some people may have to worry about mice. It keeps them out of everything, and it fills them up, and it makes them, the shelf life on those can be up to 7 to 8 years.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So dehydrated form. What do you know? What brand that you have?
I can look. I don't know. There's several different kinds. I would think they're pretty simply made, so I don't think that it would matter.
Probably not one better than the other
brand. Okay. Yeah.
Well, cool.
But
okay.
Mine is a, what is that? It just says, I don't know, it looks almost French. And I don't know what it is, Mark.
That's okay. That's cool. That's all right. Well, cool. So you've got me interested in this. You really do. I'm probably going to be twisting your ear a little bit here on stuff that I can start doing. But, yeah, the dehydrator's cool. I've got one. And doing the buckets and portioning out those meal sizes, I guess that's cool. That's right. Interesting. So, all right. So like now you were in general with the let's go back to the root cause of the collapsing economy. So do you think how do you feel about this? What's your
Well, I mean I think it's coming. And I believe that we're going to be in a type of martial law. So, to be honest with you, outside of the food, I mean, food and water obviously is your biggest concern, because you have to have those to survive. But another thing that we need to be looking at, you need a way to protect yourself. Because if you're doing this, people are going to be hungry out there.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking for food. And so, you know, it's going to be a different type of world. It's going to go back to the Wild West, and whoever has the biggest, security blanket wins.
Yeah, you're right.
So, ammunition, we purchase weapons. I'm all about owning your own gun, learning how to use it. Not so much on getting a permit, but, you know, it's up to you. My husband does, he's a concealed carry. I'm not right now, but we just opted for him to get it first.
Yeah.
Medical supplies is another thing that you really need to stock up on. We've got, several gallons of bleach to disinfect water. We've got alcohol, peroxide, all kinds of bandages for our medical supplies.
Yeah.
And I just buy a little bit at a time. And, it's not, alcohol doesn't go bad in a, shut up, in a jar. So every time I go to the store or if something's on sale, I just grab a couple bleaches or I'll grab this, just because, I don't know, most people don't have, a couple thousand just to go out and have a bunch of stuff all at one time. So it takes time to accumulate all the things that you're going to need to make it.
Yeah. Well, you're right. That's something to think about, too, because most people can't afford to just go out and buy all the stuff at once. But if you do it like you do it, you probably don't even feel it, really. You probably don't.
Right.
Just a little bit of time. Well, that's cool. Well, you're talking about martial law. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Another thing, too, that you can add to the list is ventilators. Because, the pandemic thing, that's something that could happen. The bird flu's out there. You never know what is going to hit us.
Yep.
So if you talk about something where everybody getting sick, the only way you may be able to go out and scout for things, because you're going to have to go out and find stuff. The stuff that you have saved is not going to last forever. So while you have that all stocked up, the plan is you got to go out and find where some more water is, and how are you going to kill a deer, or are the deer gone, or, you know, what's available out there that you can live off the land.
Yep.
So, you know, the ventilator thing, we got one for everybody. And we have, everybody has their own EPAC, which is like, it's a, if you had to bug out or leave your, the spot where you're at, like your home, it's just like a little pack that has clothing and some, you know, toiletry items and a little bit of food, water to last you a few days to, if you had to walk, because you don't, you know, you just don't know what situation you're going to be in.
Yep. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm impressed. Sound like you guys are really prepared out there. And like you mentioned a few minutes ago about, you know, a possibility of, you know, a martial law. And that's definitely something to that people need to be aware of. And for people that really don't get into this and follow non-mainstream media, I know it's going to sound very foreign to them. It's going to just sound like very outlandish. But, you know, it's just it's the signs are all there. You know, is another thing that I guess you mentioned about ammunition a few minutes ago. Now, this is something that I was talking to some people about the other day, and it's that, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, about a month ago, they put in an order for 450 million rounds of 40 caliber hollow points. Now,
so they, you know, who they're going to use those on.
Well, people need to think about this now, because, you know, when I'm talking to these people, they just kind of slough it off. Well, you know, that's part of the government. They're part of their law enforcement kind of deal.
Control.
But it's not. You know, this is not the military that's purchasing this. This is the Department of Homeland Security. And really, all people have to do is just do a real, take, you know, 30 seconds, call up the Department of Homeland Security, their website, and look at their mission statement. Look at what they're responsible for. And if you can find anything in there that would require them to have 450 million rounds of ammunition, then you need to tell me about it, because it doesn't make any sense to me. So, but anyway, things like that going on, and of course the FEMA camps. And I wanted to mention this to you that, and I wish I didn't. I should have called it up earlier. You know, I continue to look at things, you know, pretty much every day, probably like you do as well. I've actually got it's essentially like an operations manual for the internment camps. And of course, you know, people just pretty much call them FEMA camps. But, this thing is, it's extremely detailed manual. This is a government manual. And I'll have to pass this along. And actually, I'll put a link to it on the website as well. So, because people who don't understand this and just totally are denial about this, they need to read this. And they need to understand that when they're reading a document such as this, that the wording is specific, okay? It's not generalized, okay? And when they say certain things, they don't, it's not like, well, they don't really mean, yeah, they do. They mean exactly that, and they mean nothing else. So that's what you know, when you read any type of a military type of a document like that, you need to understand that. So anyway, I want to put that up on the website. I wish I had the name of it on the tip of my tongue, but I don't. But so you can read this.
That's a good one. And, you know, that goes back to the reason why the government takes care of all these people, because they keep them brainwashed where they don't want to question the person who, if that person's feeding you and taking care of you, you are less likely to think or see what they're really doing. Yeah. It's so devious of, you know, how they're manipulating people by holding their food stamps over their head or their check every month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that's all part of the plan. So that way they can swoop in, because they're all about the crowd control and population. They want to diminish the population because they can't control, you know, the world with all the people in it right now. But if they cut that down to just a million, say, over the whole world, they could easily control all of it. Right now we have the numbers, but we don't have enough smart people out there that see what's actually going on to take on the people that we need to take on right now.
Right. And, of course, the biggest fight that we have is, you know, we're fighting the mainstream media and that that dominance they have over most people's, you know, most people's minds, mm-hmm. really. You know, because what you said about the depopulation, I know that's going to sound very, you know, science fiction-y to a lot of people, but you're right. That's, you know, that was stated back, the Royal Institute of International Affairs actually, you know, brought that about back in 1950 somewhere. And then, of course, it was passed on as a task to the Bilderberg Group as well. And, of course, it's been, you know, divvied out as well. But their target is between 500 million and 1 billion. You know, and of course, we're at about 7 to 8 billion now on Earth, and their target population is 500 million to 1 billion. So, yeah. And it's, yeah, that's, now, you know, can they do that? And most people sit back here and say, well, nobody would do that. Well, yes, they would. They've done it in the past, and they will definitely do it again, you know, given the opportunity. In fact, right now, as we record this, you know, I guess the 20-year anniversary of the Kyoto Protocol, that meeting in Brazil is going on right now, and you know that everybody, it's pretty much been, you know, divulged that the global warming, you know, was a hoax and it was a design, you know, tactic. So now what they're doing is they're actually coming out with the war on poverty, and that's their new tactic. Now they're still including environmental issues in there. If you look at their main, they have three main topics of discussion now, and I'm kind of getting a little off subject here, but you know, people need to look at that as well, because the guy that really started off the global warming portion is a guy named Maurice Strong, and he was years ago he was head of environmental issues or whatever with the United Nations. And he's the guy that spearheaded this, and he's a really, really bad dude. He really
is. And then Al Gore fell in.
Well, yeah.
And Gore got involved, and, you know, next thing you know, it's a lot bigger than people realize.
Well, right. And, of course, you know, Al Gore, somebody on his level, he's just a puppet. He's just a little puppet, just like, you know, any seated American president in this whole deal is just really a puppet. But anyway, I would encourage people to go out there and check out, you know, the 20-year anniversary of the, you know, Global Economic Summit where the Kyoto Protocol came from, you know, because it's going on right now, and people kind of need to be aware. Check out, and when you hear these names, you know, people like Maurice Strong, if you've never heard of them before, you know, if they're key players out here, I really encourage everybody to look these people up. Do a little research on these people so you'll know what they're about, and I think you'll be surprised that Maurice Strong is a very, very bad dude, and he's such a bad dude that he hasn't lived in the United States for about 7 or 8 years now. He's been living in China, in Beijing. So, but anyway, well, listen, I know I'm kind of wandering off here.
I know that people, you know, you're talking about other subjects than prepping, but the reason and the things that you're saying are the reason why people need to be prepping, because any of these things can happen. I mean, there's several scenarios that could go down that you would need to be able to take care of yourself. And we need to get back to taking care of ourselves and making sure that we're safe and that our families are safe.
That's right.
And you know, there's a lot of things, too. You know, we also started raising chickens. They're a great source of protein. They lay eggs every day. And, you know, when they get a little older, they don't lay an egg, then they're a nice fried chicken dinner, you know? So they're not hard to take care of, and they're actually very pleasant to have around, you know, very calming. And we have 20 right now, and I have a turkey.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that was the next thing we tried, and we were actually thinking about going. We have a little bit of land, but not a whole lot. So I was thinking about getting a goat, and that way we would have goat's milk, and we make cheese and things like that. And my neighbor is actually Filipino, so she actually has made cheese, you know, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I have been discussing it, and we're actually considering going into the goat, going and getting us a goat. So,
well, that's cool.
They have a goat next week. Never know.
And you know, this all this stuff, even if the, you know, the main objective here is to be prepared for some sort of a economic collapse or whatever, even besides that, I mean, this stuff sounds like it's fun.
It is. Actually, it really is. And plus, you know, there's so much bad things in the processed foods that we eat.
Oh, yeah.
That I've noticed that, you know, I feel better eating the fresh veggies. And, you know, even if they're dehydrated, they're not processed, so to speak. So, you know, I feel better. And my health is better. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll help me live a longer life. Yeah. And we have, you know, it's great. The chickens are fun, and, you know, you let the kids take care of them. That teaches them responsibility, and, you know, that somebody's depending on them to make sure they got food and water. I mean, you know, that's just something that I think every child needs to learn.
Yeah, that's true. That's good. It sounds like getting back to a more responsible lifestyle and a more back to earth lifestyle. So,
right.
Well, I'm cool. I think you might have you've piqued my interest here, and I might be crawling on the prepper wagon if for nothing else, just because it sounds like it's fun. And there again, it's whether if the necessity for it to have it doesn't really come about, so what? You've got plenty of food. You learned a lot of stuff, and like I said, you had fun along the way. So I that's cool. I'm glad you told me about this. I'm glad you came on here and shared it too. So well, listen, we're gonna kind of wind it up here.
Okay.
Like I said, appreciate you coming on. And
okay,
you shoot me that information. I'll put it up on the website. And
everybody, I definitely will. I have several websites I can send you.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Well, thanks, okay. Eleanor. Appreciate everybody listening. And we will catch you next time.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a good night.
All right, man. That was good. That was good.
Hey, we did good, didn't we?